We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, brought to you by HighestPrice.com. New way to sell your home. Get the highest price at HighestPrice.com. We'll start again yesterday with what the Falcons did on the road against the Seahawks. 27-23 win. Another one of the big plays from a guy who's made a lot of them early in the season, Drake London.
Atlanta's 3-for-6 today on third down. London and Patterson to the left. Pitts. Keith Smith, Parker Hesse to the right, empty set Mariota. How many does Seattle bring? A bunch. Quick throw, caught London at the 5, and Drake London scores the Atlanta touchdown.
Great effort there. Good play call.
Play by the young buck.
Great play, great effort. Gets in the end zone. Couple touchdowns now in the first couple games for Drake London. And, I mean, you love to see it. He's getting the ball quite a bit. Kyle Pitts got the ball more on Sunday as well, so... You know, if I'm gonna take away anything from this football game, and you're gonna learn things every time they go out there and play, the offense is gonna be able to move the ball.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be able to run the ball too. Like they got the run game going. Cordarrelle Patterson looks every bit as good as he did last year. He looks fantastic.
Looks fresh, looks fantastic, runs angry. You know, he don't run behind his pads a lot, and he's a big guy, so he gonna get some shots. But I mean, he just runs hard. I thought the passing game was cool. It wasn't spectacular, it was cool.
Didn't throw it a lot.
They didn't throw it a lot. They did try to make a point to get Pitts the ball. Mm-hmm. And you saw what happened when he gets the ball. He moves the chains. He's a chain mover. Mariota missed him on another one. But, whatever. They won the game. But yeah, Drake
Baby London, steps.
Drake London's been real solid, man. He has. And what I said last week about he got some suction cups, man. He snatches the damn ball out the air. And he's such a long strider. It doesn't look like he's moving. But the young man can get in and out of breaks to be a big receiver. The way he gets in and out of breaks, a big receiver with a long stride.
Yeah, physical.
Just really, really looks the part, man.
Yeah, you feel good about it. He's been doing a great job. Like you said, getting Pitts the ball certainly was something that they had an emphasis on. Here's Marcus Mariota talking about getting the big man the football, especially early in the game.
Very, very important. I get the first couple weeks, teams are really looking at him, but when you add an element like Drake and some of our other young receivers, it opens up things for Kyle, and Kyle made plays, and that's what we expect of him to do. He's going to continue to do that, and now we just got to get him some touchdowns.
Yeah, that's it right there. Get him some touchdowns. Get him some touchdowns.
Drake London, more career touchdowns than Kyle Pitts.
How about that? How about that?
In three games.
Yeah.
So hopefully Kyle Pitts gets in the end zone, but definitely a better conversation than the last couple weeks. More catches yesterday than he had in the first 2 weeks combined. 5 for 87, 8 targets. They went to him a ton early. And you're right, there was a couple missed throws there that could have been big plays for Pitts. I did like that one play where it was kind of just Mariota needed to get rid of the ball, knew Pitts was going to be single covered, and threw it up for him.
Yep.
And he went and got it.
Give him a chance.
That's what you do.
Yep.
That's what you do with guys like that. You just give him a chance and he's going to make a play for you.
Give him a chance. I mean, that's the biggest thing. He is probably one of the biggest mismatches in the NFL. Give him a chance. And obviously, 9 times out of 10, I have a belief that Kyle Pitts is going to come out down with the football. 9 times out of 10. That's just my belief in him as a pass catcher, as an athlete, that you put him up there, he's going to go get it. And so, but like Marcus said, at the end of that right there was, and get him in the end zone.
Yep.
Get him a touchdown.
Got some nice weapons. I mean, Patterson looks fantastic. London looks really good early in his career. Obviously, Pitts, very good. I mean, that's 3 guys on offense.
You
want to get the ball in their hands. That's nice.
You got some players. Don't get me wrong. You got players.
It's a better situation offensively in terms of playmakers than it's been.
Well, because you got a guy on the outside that can play. I think that's the biggest thing. A guy that can consistently play on the outside. And when you have that, the long and it complements what Pitts does in inside and outside, obviously. But, yeah, you got 3 things. I want to see more Bryan Edwards, but hopefully it just seems like he's not right yet. To me, that's what it just seems like. He's just not right yet. And then
– didn't even have a target.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't seem like he's right yet. And then Zaccheaus is really, really improved.
Yeah, sure.
He's really, really improved this year. So you got some dudes. Offensive line ain't horrible this year. I think that's the biggest thing. They're not horrible. They're not elite. They're not horrible.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're not horrible.
They're doing their jobs.
Yes.
For the most part. They gave up a couple blitz sacks yesterday to the Seahawks. Seahawks sort of dialed it up at the right time. But, yeah, it's kind of ironic, I guess, a little bit. I don't know if that's the right word for it, maybe. But the offensive line finally kind of getting it together.
A little bit.
And doing their jobs. Yeah. Meanwhile, Matt Ryan goes to Indianapolis and is getting brutalized every season. Oh, finally, a good offensive line for him to play behind. He's getting hit more in Indy than he was getting hit
here. And a consistent run game, and he's getting thrashed.
Neither one of those things. What about the defense? What did you make of the way the defense played yesterday? They came up with plays when they needed it.
I think
that's
the biggest thing, Bunk.
Seahawks were moving it on him in the first half.
I think that's the great thing about it, Bunk, as you said, when they need to make plays. When they need to make plays, when they needed a defensive tack, a defensive stop, or defensive, like, you know, just momentum killer, you had your captain. You had the face of your defense, Grady Jarrett, go get the sack. And then, you know, it's one of those things where it's a desperation, and Richie Grant comes up with the interception. It's a low car to get a sack. I thought just the constant pressure that they kept doing on him. I think my biggest thing, still too many big-ass windows for quarterbacks to throw into with the Falcons secondary.
Michael Walker almost had another one.
He's so special.
That would have been a pick six, too. There was nothing but green in front of him.
He's so special, man. I thought Rashad Evans played really well
yesterday. Yeah, Evans with a couple nice passes.
He played really well yesterday. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing for him.
Career high in tackles yesterday for Rashad Evans.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Good for him. At 12. 12, yeah. And believing that can be a point where you can keep him on the field all three downs.
Yeah.
That helps even more. But I thought defensively they had stops when they need to get off the field. And obviously that last drive for the Seahawks, those are interception. We'll always say it. Best formation in football. Victory formation. You can't wait for the coach. You give a big V. And you just run out there and dang, let's go.
I couldn't have been the only one that even when they were in victory formation.
Oh, come on, man. We thought he was going to fumble the snap.
I mean.
Really?
My confidence level in Mariota's ability to not fumble is very low. Very low. I just tell it struck zero. I was still standing there.
Like there's that, like
this team is not one that with a minute and 11 seconds left on the clock and they're taking knees.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you're not used to it.
I'm not comfortable until there's zeros on the clock and they're shaking hands.
Okay. Like everybody got to come on the sideline.
Yes.
Okay.
Mariota's got to put his hat on and go shake hands with Geno, and then I'm comfortable with it. Victory formation for most.
Yeah, man. Victory!
They won. They got it done. That's what matters. They're coming home 1-2. They got the Browns this weekend. Let's get to some of the other great stuff that happened over the weekend. We'll start with Lamar Jackson continuing to be totally
Lord
insane.
Lord have mercy.
Fakes the handoff. Lamar will keep it. He's got room. He's in the five. He walks in. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson with a knockout shot.
I want to win. Like I told y'all last week when someone asked me like a similar question, I just want to win. And by doing that, I just got to do what I do, play Lamar football.
That's right. You're damn right. In Lamar football, you lead the league in passer ratings for whatever that is. I don't like the QBR and all that other stuff. Can't stand trying to figure out what it means. But I know that touchdowns count.
Yeah, he's got the most.
Yeah. The dude is just unbelievable. I mean, just the fact is that they needed everything from him, running the football. And then when the Patriots tried to come back, it's like, okay, Lamar, go win the damn football game for us. All right, coach, I got you. And then he went and won the football game. He did.
He's also fourth in the league in rushing.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like
first in passing touchdowns, first in quarterback rating.
Yes.
Fourth in rushing.
Yeah. The dude's unbelievable, man. He's unbelievable. And they needed all of that yesterday. They really didn't have the run game going like they needed to with J.K. coming back. But obviously, Mark Andrews, I mean, he's just amazing.
Yeah.
He's just amazing the way he catches
the
football.
They got a great relationship.
And they got a great relationship, Bunk. And, I mean, he can just throw it up with the eye closed and Andrews would get it. But the Ravens' defense, secondary especially.
No, they're not good.
They're not good.
They're banged up.
They're not good.
They're banged up. But the guys that are out there are not playing good right now. Mac Jones led that comeback in the second half, and then he got hurt on the final play of the game, too. So Mac Jones goes out. But, yeah, man, we talked about this last week with Aaron Judge. And I don't want to jinx it because it's 3 weeks and all that. But to have that type of performance in a contract year, in a prove-it, pay-me year, Lamar's he's making his case.
He's making his case.
Very clear.
He's making his case, but I believe it when I see it. Still gonna get the guaranteed contract.
They're still gonna franchise him.
They're still gonna franchise.
Oh, perfect. So you're gonna play like that every time it's a career year.
Yep.
Well, every time it's a contract year.
Yep.
We'll just franchise you. Yep. So every year is a contract year. Yeah, they're just gonna treat him like a running back.
Yep.
Okay. It's really good. Keeps winning football games for him. Here's Matt Ryan. We were just talking about him. That game was nuts, man. They went and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Matt talking about it after the game.
You know, you can see it when you're in the huddle. You can feel it, you know, when you look around and you see, you know, you see how people are looking at you when you're calling a play or the belief or what you're saying to them. I kind of said it last week. It's a proud group. Guys take pride in playing well, and there's certainly a lot of self-belief, you know, in our locker room, but a lot for us to clean up, too.
Yeah, I mean, after the last two stinkers that they had, and he was awful, they found a way to win against a really good football team. And Kansas City, you know, I mean, you kind of knew this was going to happen every time they lose a game. It's like, oh, they missed Tyreek Hill. Why'd they lose the game? And all those different things. I mean, I give the Colts a lot of credit for yesterday. I mean, Matt Ryan made the throws when he had to. Like you said, is he sacked the most or fumbled the most?
I think both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's been the ball on the ground,
man. He got sacked
man.
Five times on Sunday. I don't know, because somebody got sacked nine times over the weekend.
Oh, it was Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz got sacked nine times, so
yeah,
he might have been sacked most.
He might have been sacked most.
Yeah, but Matt Ryan's got seven fumbles in three games.
Yeah, dude, that
he had
ain't
two
good.
Fumbles on Sunday.
That ain't good, brother. That is not good whatsoever. You got to be able to run the football. Matt's an old quarterback. You got to protect him. And I just knew that him going to Indy was going to be the solve because you got a good running game. And you got a good offensive line, and that just has not been
neither
the case.
Of those has been
but,
true.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City, they tricked one off, man. They really, really did. I don't know what the hell Chris Jones said to Matt Ryan, but he had to say somebody's mama
yeah,
something.
No one would say after the game.
Yeah, like what the hell?
No one on either side would say what Chris Jones said to Matt Ryan
to get a penalty?
At that time.
At that
too.
Time?
Yeah,
he had to say something pretty bad.
Had to be.
Like, he had to say something pretty bad.
It's got to be a mom thing.
Something, man.
A wife thing.
He had to say something bad.
Something like that.
Like, if not, that was soft.
Yeah, other than
and it still might be soft.
Otherwise, it was soft.
It still might be soft,
yeah,
too.
No doubt. Still a really bad time to get a penalty like that. The Eagles won again, man.
Yeah,
we're talking about teams that might be considered the best through 3 weeks. They look really, really good. They got it going across the board. Like we said, nine sacks of Carson Wentz. Here's Jalen Hurts with an unbelievable throw and catch by Devontae Smith.
Hurts looking, firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown! He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Slim Reaper.
Okay.
What a freaking catch.
Unbelievable
the
catch.
The one before that was crazy.
Devontae got two targets week one.
Yes.
He had eight catches for $170 and a touchdown
yesterday. Yeah, the first catch was when he went up and got it, came down on his back, but then the touchdown catch, that dude was so cold yesterday. And Jalen Hurts just continues to lead his team, and that defense, they hunted Carson Wentz all game. Like they had four of the sacks in the first quarter. I think they had two on the first drive. I mean, they would just get after him and everything. I love Coach Ron, but Coach Ron might get Coach Ron up out of D.C., man. Because, I mean, that was just bad. They were supposed to be, you know, the defensive line was supposed to be the key.
Yeah.
They can't do
drafted
nothing.
All those guys.
They can't do nothing.
Then they got a safety. Then they create a safety at one point in that game. Defensive line made one play. I saw people tweeting, man, the Commanders are worse than the Redskins were. We're supposed to rebrand.
Yeah,
could
man.
Could have stayed the Washington football team, maybe.
Yeah, it was awful, dude.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Not good at all. And then Tyreek Hill. Speaking of Tyreek Hill, the Dolphins are 3-0 as well. They asked him after the game, looking forward to next week. Didn't know who they were playing. Then he kind of thought about it, remembered Eli Apples on the other team. Here's what he had to say about that.
Why we play on primetime that week? I didn't even know that.
Amazon Prime.
Are we playing on Amazon Prime?
Thursday.
Oh, that's going to be lit right there. I ain't even know that for real. But, yeah, we're looking forward to who we play?
Bengals.
We're looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be fun, you know. And I can't wait to go against Eli Apple, man. I owe you, boy. I owe you. Ooh. I'm here. The cheetah is here. That's it.
Intel.
I don't know what Eli did.
I don't either. Is it an obvious thing that we're just forgetting?
I think it has to be.
I don't know what he did, but I know it's about to
happen. Oh, yeah. I know what he's about to do.
But see, that's the worst kind right there is because of this. You can't control who throws you the football.
No.
You know what I mean? That's the worst thing about when you're a receiver talking like that. Because if say Tyreek gets two catches, then it'd be like, oh, Eli shut him down. You know, he's on. But, I mean, Tyreek.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I think they're going to go up there and get – I think he's going to go cook him. But that's the only thing about it. When you talk it like that and you have three for like 30, uh-huh. And they're like, well, I shut you down. They put your stats up. And he might not have guarded him the whole damn
day. He might not have.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I got a feeling this Tyreek Hill is going to have a couple carries. They're going to target him a lot. I mean, that's an advantage. That's a matchup advantage
a great game that was yesterday,
it was.
Man. It was a great game.
Dolphins are good, man.
That
heat good
got,
football
that,
team.
That heat got Buffalo, man. Everybody talks about how their stadium is. The sun is sitting right. Like, even the stands that are behind the visitor bench is covered. Right there where the players are, it is nothing but sunshine. It's 1 o'clock. It's probably about 1:13.
On the field.
They ran 90 freaking plays offensively.
Josh Allen threw the ball 65
times. They wore down
it's
yesterday. Josh Allen missing some of those throws.
Yeah.
But, yeah, give Miami all the credit. What a great throw by Tua. I know we talked about, you know, on the podcast about the head injury and everything. Obviously, he went in. He says his back. But they do have a guy who is there by the league mandate that is not associated with anybody, the Dolphins or the Bills. He went back there, checked him out, said he was good to go.
Yeah, the independent doctor cleared him.
He cleared him.
Went back on the field.
Yeah.
But whatever goes into that, yeah, I don't know.
But big time throw. That throw to Waddle.
Yeah. Oh. No, they look really good.
They look good.
They're
man.
Good. 3-0. Brian's got the info on Eli Apple and
yeah,
Tyreek.
Yeah, so the Bengals beat the Chiefs right. twice in the span of a month there last year.
Yeah.
And then also, like, for the Super Bowl, Eli Apple sent a message to Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill if they wanted Super Bowl tickets.
Oh.
Eli Apple would get them for
okay,
them.
That's pretty funny.
So
okay.
that's what it really stems from.
That's okay. actually pretty
that's
well
pretty
played by
he
Eli
also
Apple.
Called Tyreek Hill a baby.
Wow. Mm-hmm. He did.
So get Tyreek Hill in
what
all
a,
your
what a dumb insult.
That's a dumbass insult.
He's a baby.
He's a baby.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like coming up on Thursday night. All right, we'll come back. Smoking Joe Patrick's going to join us. Falcons win yesterday in Seattle against the Seahawks. Find out Joe's biggest takeaways from the game after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday afternoon. 20 minutes away from Brian Gebhardt joining us for his segment every day at 12:45. Be sure to check out the Off the Cuff podcast, the Midday Show podcast, available at 2 o'clock every single day. Now, if you subscribe to it, it just shows up right on your phone.
There it is.
Wherever it is that you get your podcast. It's just going to show right, pop up right there every day at 2 o'clock.
I know last week we had Media Days. We had the Hawks on.
Yeah.
Thank you again to everybody out there. So they're having Media Days around the NBA. And I still laugh at this damn Jimmy Butler. Because Jimmy actually thinks that we don't know that that's weave. He said this is not extensions. It's all him.
We watched him get a weave.
I know.
On video.
I mean, he can't play with that hair level. Like, they're like to get hot.
Yeah, like a lot of extra weight.
Like a lot of extra sweat going on with you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
knock a couple inches off your jump shot.
I just thought that was just funny. Jimmy said, no, that's real. I mean, it's real fake.
It's somebody's hair.
It's somebody's hair. You know, Mr. Ed, somebody on the pasture somewhere without it. You know, there's a horse out there missing some hair. Missing the tail hair, you know. But, yeah, all right, man.
Nah, it's not horse hair.
Huh?
That's like Indonesian or something like that.
Oh, okay.
That's nice. That's a Hawaiian person.
That's a Hawaiian
hair.
Girl. Huh?
Yeah.
You know the people they actually sell their hair for that?
Mm-hmm.
Like cut it off and sell it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I don't think anybody would want mine.
Yeah, I mean, either. I got it rough great.
Jimmy, if you had my hair weaved in, it'd be even less believable. All right. I don't know if there's a connection between Joe Patrick and weaves. Probably not. So let's just get to smoking Joe and talk some Falcons football.
Quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts Andy and Randy at a combined 12 feet 3 inches and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter Smokin' Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Now, I don't know if it was Joe that had the drone out there at the game yesterday.
That seems like
something Joe would
like
do.
Joe would do. Because Joe can't make it out of Seattle.
I'm signing up for rifle classes this morning. So next time there's an opportunity, you know, me and Caleb McGarry. I don't know if you saw his post-game.
Yeah. Caleb McGarry said, "Shoot it."
Yeah, I'd like to shoot that thing down.
Shoot it! Somebody shoot it! Now the Falcons go out there and they beat the Seahawks, which is great. They got the game started in a way that a lot of people wanted them to, targeting Kyle Pitts. Do you think, or actually, let me just ask you like this. What did Arthur Smith say after the game about them making an emphasis to get Pitts the ball early in the game?
I mean, I don't think that there was more emphasis than there has been. I think that the main difference was that you saw a couple plays specifically schemed to him. And right. That's what I think pretty much everybody wanted to see. There was a nice little tight end screen. There was that fade pass that he caught in a one-on-one situation where he was coming out of the backfield. That's exactly the same way that the Rams used Cooper Kupp, and that's the way that you just want to get your playmakers the ball. And I think that Kyle Pitts showed in the game exactly why you do want to scheme him into those situations, because he's just such a physical presence. He can make things happen with the ball in his hands, similar to the way that like Drake London is able to gain yards after the catch just because of his sheer physicality. So I think that, you know, but when you think about it, guys, like they schemed him up in the first quarter and they still kind of drifted kind of away
it's
from
true.
Him because the game plan was to more run the ball. And that's what has really happened. If you go back and rewatch the first couple games of the season, they'll go to Kyle Pitts early and then they kind of go away from him. So I'm not completely like certain that this whole situation is like sorted out, but I think that we did see some glimpses of what we've been wanting to see, which is just scheme the ball to get it into his hands mm-hmm. at that point in time.
What about that run game? I mean, obviously Cordarrelle Patterson over 140 yards rushing, but to me, Joe, it just seems like that this offensive line has, I don't want to say jailed or anything, but they are getting a hat on a hat and allowing him to make runs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, doesn't it kind of remind you, and I'm not going to, like, make a direct comparison, but, like, doesn't it kind of remind you of, like, the way that Derrick Henry ran in Tennessee under Arthur Smith? Like, you're getting that power run game. And the thing about Cordarrelle Patterson, I think it was because he used to be a wide receiver full-time, people don't think of him as, like, a physical presence like a Derrick Henry who's going to bowl you over. But he will absolutely do that. I mean, the guy is massive. When you stand in front of him, he's, like, 6'2", 230. It's kind of crazy that he's actually as nimble as he is. He is not someone you want to get in front of when he's running at full speed. And that's the other fun thing about Cordarrelle Patterson is he's getting that hat-on-hat blocking, like you said, Randy, in front of him, but he's also hitting the hole at full speed. And I think that what that really does for him over time is it makes teams overcommit to the play side, and then that's when you see in the second half of these games, he's really killing these teams on the cutback lanes. You saw actually Felipe Franks had a great, like, kind of block on the back side of that play in the, I think it was like late in the third quarter, that really sprung Cordarrelle Patterson for a long gain down the Falcons sideline. So it's really fun to watch him play, but it's also, I think, really exciting for this Falcons offense because of the way that you're seeing Arthur Smith's total offensive scheme kind of fall into place with this guy who, you know, he's a 31-year-old back. He's probably not a back that a lot of people thought was going to be a long-term piece here in Atlanta. And, you know, obviously age will eventually catch up to everybody. But for right now, he looks like he's the kind of perfect guy that you would want back there in this offense.
Yeah, and that's what's happening, right? Like, we're talking about a guy who, after a decade in the NFL, being what he was, has come here and become the lead running back. Like, he's second in the NFL in rushing yards right now behind only Nick Chubb. No, after the first week, he had 20 carries. He had 17 carries yesterday, and we keep being like, well, you know, they'll give the ball to Algier more. Maybe they will. Algier had the ball six times yesterday. Like, do you feel like that's kind of what we're watching with him? Like, he's really going from that dual threat weapon that they used him as last year to now, I mean, he's their number one running back, and they're going to give him the ball a ton.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of joking late last week about Tyler Algier kind of being the meat shield for this for Cordarrelle Patterson. That, you know, he softens up that defense, but you're seeing it. Like, you're seeing Cordarrelle Patterson being able to run against teams that have just gotten pounded on once or twice. And I think that contributes to Cordarrelle Patterson having such a high success rate on his runs. You know, there's, you know, a lot of people just go by, you know, average yards per carry and whatnot, but he has one of the highest success rates in terms of what you expect to get in certain downs and distances in the NFL. And that's what is keeping this offense, like, on schedule and kind of keeping it looking so good, to be quite frank. I mean, this offense has been one of the better offenses in the NFL through 3 weeks. I mean, when you look around the league, you're seeing some teams like that Sunday night game last night was
awful.
Was absolutely pitiful. You're seeing some teams like, you know, the Steelers. You're seeing teams all over the place that are just struggling on offense. The Bears look terrible. Obviously, the Texans, that game they had yesterday. The Falcons are one of the better offenses. In fact, you know, it's funny, when I'm watching these Falcons games, after the defense gets off the field, usually after a bad result for the defense, I'm like, all right, yes, well, at least we get to watch the Falcons offense now, because it certainly seems to be humming. As long as they can clean up some of these turnovers they're having, especially the fumbles, I mean, I think that's really kind of holding them back from being one of the elite offensive teams right now.
What about this defense who you're talking about? Opportunistic, Brady with a big sack. You got Richie Grant with the interception that ended the football game. But still, Joe, it seems like those passing windows are just wide open. I mean, it just seems, I mean, like you can drive a Mack truck through some of those windows that Geno was throwing through. Did you see anything differently from the defense in the back end at all that can be like, okay, maybe it was just a coverage that they're playing soft zone, or are these guys just getting beat?
I mean, that's the frustrating thing, Randy, is that it just feels like it's just soft coverage. Like, guys are in position. It doesn't feel like there's a ton of, like, coverage busts or anything, but you just had guys, you know, just like allowing let's be honest, like a mediocre NFL quarterback like Geno Smith to just kind of pick you apart because you're playing so off. And I think that that's something that is very frustrating. And I don't think many people expected with a Dean Pease defense that was kind of known for being this, you know, high aggression, high pressure defense. And you know, it is frustrating to watch this team play defense right now. We'll see how they adjust. I think the good thing that you can point to is that this team in the last two games against the Rams and this one against the Seahawks, the defense has improved after halftime. I think the adjustments that they're making at that point are definitely helping. And that's a sign of not just good coaching, but also players that can receive that coaching and implement it on the fly. But it certainly is frustrating. And I think on the pass rush, you know, I want to be optimistic about it, but, you know, it seems to me like it's like Grady Jarrett or nothing.
Right.
Like if Grady Jarrett's not busting through that line, it seems very rare that it's somebody else getting back there. Thankfully, Lorenzo Carter was able to get a really huge sack, important sack late in that game. And then, of course, Grady seals it. So that's good. You're glad you're getting that. But I'm wondering how sustainable it is. I hope they can use Troy Anderson in some more of those blitzing situations, because he's one of the Falcons players that looks to be effective in that role. You don't like, I mean, over time, he will be able to be a guy who drops into coverage. But I think right now you kind of want a guy like Troy Anderson to be using that athleticism to the biggest extent possible. So blitz him and have him in man coverage. And I think that you can do some things with the defense.
What did they say about that fourth quarter fumble after the game? Mariota, Arthur Smith, what was it that they were saying about what happened on that play?
Well, I think the main thing that Arthur Smith said, actually, you know, this is like one of those things. It's a mess situation, and they didn't execute it correctly, and it cost them. But I think with Arthur Smith sounded very pleased with the way that the team responded at that point, because I think everybody was thinking the exact same thing, which was the Seahawks are going to march down the field, score a touchdown, Falcons are going to lose. It's going to be basically the same thing all over again that happened against the Saints, the way that, you know, the reaction's going to be to it. But the defense came out and played, and they started getting that pass rush. So I think that, you know, they didn't want to kind of, you know, linger on the mistake. I know that obviously that will be something that they have to get ironed out. And it's like the one thing I think that's holding Marcus Mariota back in terms of his perception among fans of this team right now is like, can't he kind of get those things sorted out? It certainly needs to be something that they do get straightened away. But I think overall they were just happier with the way that the team responded versus how they've responded previously.
No doubt. Joe, we appreciate it.
JP.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there covers the Falcons for 92.9 The Game. Follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. Yeah, pretty important thing to get ironed out.
Yeah.
Mario's got to stop making massive turnover mistakes in the fourth
every
quarter.
Game. He's had a fumble in every single game.
Every single fourth quarter. Not good.
Damn. Well, every single one.
Maybe this coming week against the Browns he won't.
Makes you think that.
Optimism.
Okay.
Optimism. All sticky, right. Sticky. Maybe they'll get a sticky glove on his left hand. I don't know.
Maybe get something.
Get something on there. All right, we'll come back. Brian's segment coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 20 minutes away from the most important audio in the world to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. College Football Corner at 1:20. We'll get back into what was a pretty wild day on Saturday. An hour away from the AMA. Get your questions in. Any question, any topic. Also, we'll open the phone lines as we do every Monday for Falcons fans. If you want to call in and talk about yesterday's football game, 404-741-0929. Check out Two Dudes Same Fantasy Facebook Live show. Stardom Sit'em. No, sorry. The Waiver Wire show tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. Two Dudes Same Fantasy, Bo and Brian on Facebook Live. And be sure to download the Off the Cuff podcast. It'll be available today at 2:00.
Yeah, what a great effort. They're showing Drake London's touchdown. This is a great effort by the young boy. And just they're changing the Pro Bowl again, Andy. Since they were already playing flag football.
To what? Not doing it?
Not doing it. They're going to do some crap. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it was flag football basically.
Pretty much already was flag football.
So basically,
okay.
It's a week vacation in Vegas. Go have a good time.
Is it a skills competition they talk about?
Yeah, skills competition and all the other, cool. It's probably all the other stuff they used to have, but then include some of the stuff they have this year with the dodgeball and
I'll tell you the
stuff.
NFL news I did care about from yesterday.
What's that?
Rihanna halftime show.
Oh, yeah.
That's the story I care about.
Why did I see somewhere where I thought it was Taylor Swift at first?
I did see that floating
around.
You
saw that too? Okay.
And what a wonderful, like, okey-doke that was.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift, and then it's like, oh, Rihanna?
Rihanna.
Great,
yeah,
sign me
good
up.
For her, man. I mean, Rihanna.
I'll watch that.
Rihanna got that post baby thick boy.
One of the best types,
man.
Just very special type
man.
Of thick.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and bring on Brian both.
Okay, let's get to Brian here in his segment.
Yeah.
And now 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gephardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Every day at 12:45, Brian joins us. Hello, Brian.
I, too, was also excited to see Rihanna over Taylor Swift as the halftime show. That's going to be great.
Yeah, it feels like,
because she had the baby, it feels like she hasn't really been around. Taylor Swift, the reports came out that she was offered it and then reportedly didn't. Every time her name is brought up, there's the whole Coke-Pepsi thing. Because it's brought to you by Pepsi, but she's sponsored by Coke.
Oh, really?
And she's, like, super mega world star person that actually, you know.
Oh, I see.
That comes into play.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was the reason why or not, but very cool to have Rihanna at the halftime show this year. So that'll be a lot of fun. One thing over that happened on Saturday, Brock Bowers was phenomenal, did really well, obviously 75-yard touchdown right away. And Kenny McIntosh banged up, but we did hear from Kirby Smart today that it's just a thigh bruise. He should play against Missouri coming up on Saturday night, or at least he expects him to. But Dejon Edwards is someone we've talked about on the show quite a bit. He ran really well on Saturday, or at least I thought he did.
He did.
Not really a big deal, small deal, no deal. Would you play him more? Here's Kirby after the game. You guys let me know.
Toughness. I mean, he's the one guy now consistently breaks tackles. He's hard to tackle. He's low to the ground. He's like a ping pong in there and just keeps going. I thought his run game really came through for us in the end when we knew we had to run the ball, and they knew we had to run the ball. He's an incredible toughness guy, and just, I mean, he works every day really hard.
He's a toughness guy, Andy.
He's a ping pong ball.
A ping pong ball.
You can't tackle him with your first guy.
No, but good for him, man. I love that kid. I mean, and stenching him on the call, we're talking about, you know, he's going to keep one from the fifth spot. As far as, you know, depth of the running back all the way up to right now, he might be the second guy. Always works hard. Always one of those fun guys when he gets in the game. You know he's going to be productive and all those things. Usually it's at the end of games.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, the game was okay, whatever. It wasn't close to me. But, you know, they got opportunities to go in there because they knew they had to run the football. They were going to just milk the clock like they did, give him the football.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get the ball earlier in the game just to see what it looks like, especially if Kenny McIntosh a little bit banged up. You're going to be able to take advantage of Missouri. You're going to win that football game. So, yeah, see what Dejon Edwards looks like in the first half, giving him the ball. I don't know if he's the guy who gets it the most. He certainly was on Saturday, and again, a lot of that in the second half. But I think he's earned it. Like, every opportunity he gets, he's really productive.
Yeah,
sign me up. Let me see some Dejon Edwards in the first half against Missouri on Saturday night.
And Kirby's always going to pump up all of his players, but when he says stuff like that after the game, he earned 5 to 7 more carries against Missouri coming up this Saturday. And he really, you know, again, it's different because it's the second half of games and it might be a team that's worn out or whatever it is. But Dejon Edwards has looked the best in between the tackles so far for the running backs this year.
It's true.
And hopefully McIntosh is healthy. I should have just done questions. I guess we did. I chose the wrong thing today, but I got another question for you guys.
It's okay.
Jeff Collins reportedly let go at Georgia Tech, along with Todd Stansberry. Nebraska fired Scott Frost a couple weeks back. This is something we talked about on the Off the Cuff podcast before our audience here. Which one's a better job right now, sitting here today, September 2022? Is it Georgia Tech or is it Nebraska?
I kept saying Nebraska, and y'all convinced me back to Georgia Tech. I talked to Mike Conte. Nebraska, because of the unlimited resources that they have. They're going to have a loyal fan base, which they do. You can actually recruit national. You can recruit national being from Nebraska, and you get the right guy in there. So I'm gonna go to Nebraska. I'll go to Nebraska.
It's just so hard for me to admit
I know.
Or accept or understand how that could be true.
I
guess all the points you make sense, but like recruit nationally to Nebraska. Maybe you used to be able to.
I agree.
Nobody's going there.
I agree.
Unless you're from close to there.
I agree.
Now, maybe they can get some good linemen. You know what I mean? You can bulk up on the lines.
That's one thing I don't.
Skill
positions? I don't know.
I don't think so. For
me, it would be Georgia Tech.
I know that Jeff Collins tried this and it didn't work, but it just seems like being in downtown Atlanta and using that as an advantage should be something that matters. It just should. It should matter. Like, it's Atlanta. It's Lincoln, Nebraska. Like, you should be able to have a program here that succeeds. Just get, like, a couple guys from Metro Atlanta every year.
Yes.
You're going to have a good football team. Like, every college in America has guys from Metro Atlanta that are just out there scoring touchdowns. They don't have any of them. So, I don't know. I'm gonna die on that hill that Georgia Tech should be a good program, and they're just not right now.
It all ultimately winds up being who are the players on the field, right? It's funny because it's two different thought processes of Georgia Tech. Okay, you're in the ACC, you're in Atlanta. In theory, that's where the recruits should want to go. But you're saying Nebraska's got the resources. Now we have this NIL world where it's like, how much more money can they offer this person potentially? So if we were to throw Auburn into that fold, and just maybe you personally, say you were a coach and you got offered all three head coaching jobs, Nebraska, Auburn, and Georgia Tech, which one would you be personally taking?
Man. I'd probably take the Georgia Tech job.
And is that because ability to win?
That must have hurt to say.
That hurt my soul right there.
The pain on your face right now that people can't see.
That was
tough.
Wow.
That hurt
I'm surprised you even like went down that hypothetical road. Good for you.
I know, dude.
That's growth.
Cause it's because of Atlanta. Because I love the city of Atlanta.
Sure.
That's the only reason. Like, I don't want to be up in no cornfields. I don't want to be, and I don't want to live in the Central Time Zone.
You don't want to be in the plains?
Yeah, I don't want to live in the Central Time Zone.
I had a good time at Sky Bar over there in Auburn. Alabama?
Dude.
Can only go to Skybar so many times.
Probably not allowed to go to Skybar very often if you're the head coach, though.
Exactly. Brutal news. Damn Chargers, man. They lose Rashad Slater for the season. Ruptured bicep.
Oh, no.
Yep, out for the season. And Mac Jones going to be out for a while. I just saw that.
Oh, wow.
Mac Jones going to be out for a while.
And Joey Bosa left that game early with a groin injury.
You lose to a ruptured bicep tendon. Yeah, dog. Damn.
Chargers.
Damn Chargers.
Are going to charge
them. Yes, they are.
Yeah, it just took a couple weeks this year. It always happens.
Yep.
That sucks. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the world to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. College Football Corner coming up at 1:20 as well. Get your AMA questions in for 1:40. We'll be right back. Final hour straight ahead. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.